Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 10, verses 23 through 37. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for today is from Luke chapter 10. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." O Lord, have mercy on us. We know of no other God except the Lord, in whom we trust. Let us seek his mercy with tears and humble ourselves before him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. So last week around here was a pretty busy week. We had many visitors here in the International Center. There were meetings at the Hilton and the seminary for installation service. While all this was going on, one of our visiting church leaders approached me and asked me a question. He said, "Why is the International Center so toxic?" Immediately, I'm trying to understand the question, and a thesaurus went off in my brain. Toxic, poisonous, deadly, lethal, noxious, contaminated, venomous, harmful, unpleasant. I said, "I'm not really sure where you're getting that from. I think we have a wonderful working relationship here. I know the people that I work with, the unit executives. We work together, we serve together, we eat together, we even play together." And I said, "I think that goes on quite a bit here in this building." And yet if we open our eyes in this building, if we open our eyes and look out into our congregations and our churches and our entities whom we serve, if we look out into all the world, into every field and diner and urban center and international and national, The reality hits. The world is toxic. The whole world is poisonous and deadly and lethal and noxious and contaminated and venomous and harmful and unpleasant. And we could very well turn the question in on ourselves, couldn't we, and say, why am I so toxic? And how does that affect my neighbor? Who is this who stands up before Jesus to test him today, asking the very Son of God what we must do to inherit eternal life? And the question is as old as time, or at least as old as the time of the fall, building a Babel Tower to become God and inherit eternal life, keeping 613 Pharisaic laws to protect ourselves from the 10. And when we've achieved them all perfectly, the Messiah will come and then we'll have eternal life, paying for indulgences and masses and relics to buy ourselves out of purgatory to get to heaven, being Puritan and pious by not associating ourselves with the culture or people in the world, or killing the infidel to achieve paradise with celestial virgins. Or we could do an end around God, you know, make it a little more subtle. I could put everyone else down with my criticisms and slander to make myself look so good and righteous, and especially God would notice how good I am. I can convince myself that God must be rather thankful that he has me to serve in his kingdom, that I am so devoted to the life of the church. I am a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm a worker at this international center. I go around the world to serve his people. Especially, Lord, I'm immune from such toxicity. What is written in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Check. I've done that. I'm feeling pretty justified. I'm doing pretty well at that most times. Aren't you? By the way, Lord, who is my neighbor? So that you and all these people here can see how justified I am that I may have eternal life. Our real first parents, Adam and Eve, real people of a real time in a real Garden of Eden, created by God with his own hands. Righteousness breathed into them with his own righteousness, blessed by him with his own words, communion with his presence, Jesus Christ, in the cool of the day. Our first parents who fell among robbers, and with their own assent and with their own craving for what the robbers promised, Satan promising that they would be like God. What a temptation! What a deception! The robbers came, Satan deceived, sin took away all of their holiness and righteousness and perfect communion with God. Death took away their life. And there they are, lying on the road. There we are, lying on the road with our parents and our descendants who passed on this thing to us called original sin. Void of all holiness, void of all righteousness, void of all salvation, void of all eternal life. And whether we're king or pauper, whether we're chief executive or prostitute, whether we're department heads or tax collectors, whether we are administrative assistants or heathen, here we all are, aren't we? Toxic. Toxic with sin and eternal death, only to leak the toxic fumes of poisonous acts, lethal words, noxious attitudes, venomous deeds. In reality, we are all dead, and we have no life with God. Then there's this priest and this Levite. They're the walking dead. Even in the name of the church, and yet without the life of Christ, they are dead, even though they think so much of themselves. The priest comes near, sees the man beaten along the road, and passes by on the other side. He can't afford to get dirty with death. He'd have to wash himself for 8 days and miss out on all the fun temple work. The same with the Levite. Who has time to tend to the needs of their neighbor? We have blogs to write. We've got coffee to drink. We've got conferences to fix the church. Who has time for our neighbor next door when there are people to see in exotic countries? Who has time to tend to the needs of my neighbor in the cubicle next door, or even be kind to them or encourage them, when we've got our own reputations and egos to protect? Toxic? Us? Someone from the outside. One who is not like us. One despised and rejected by men. One who is ridiculed and mocked and persecuted even today. One who steps forth from his kingly hall. God of God, yet fully man. Jesus Christ, the Good Samaritan, comes into our poor and miserable state. He journeys from heaven to the manger, to the cross, to his resurrection. He comes in compassion for you and for me to penetrate our hurts and our sins. He comes to bind our wounds, those of my body, those of my mind, those of our soul. He comes to make us alive by dipping us in the waters of our holy baptism, where we die with Christ and we rise with him. He comes to be the beaten one, the stricken one, the toxic one in our place, the crushed one for our iniquities, so that by his stripes we are healed. And he makes us alive, and he makes us righteous forever. He does what needs to be done for us to have eternal life. Oh, but we're so vulnerable, aren't we? Every one of us. In this journey of life, battered and attacked by the same old enemies of sin and death and the devil day after day. And every day, I don't know about you, but I fall prey. And Jesus picks us up from the road and takes us to the inn in his holy church, where pastors serve as the innkeeper caring for this body and this soul. 2 denarii, priceless gifts of the Old and New Testaments from which God's word is preached for our comfort and for our hope and for our healing and for our salvation. And in the compassion of our God, he places the holy gifts of God into the pastor's hands. For me, it's Pastor Sell at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Fenton, keeping and tending to this poor, miserable sinner. With oil God grants and seals my baptism. And with wine of his blood he takes away my sin. Even with the promise that this good Samaritan, Jesus Christ, will return, instructing the innkeeper, our pastor, to be lavish with his grace and mercy and love, and he will return to settle the bill and take me to heaven forever, because he's made me righteous. The parable is rightly named the Good Samaritan. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He came to heal us with his wounds, and now he serves our neighbor through us, his baptized children. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your blessed Redeemer, who has done all that is needed to be done for our salvation. Who is my neighbor? Everyone in your department. Everyone in your home and extended family. Everyone in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Everyone in your neighbor and community. Everyone. Everyone is your neighbor. And loving your neighbor as yourself is not to inherit eternal life. Loving your neighbor is because eternal life has been given to you through the blood, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. This is a toxic place, you know, like the fallen world in which we live. But Christ is the antidote for the poison of our sin. His resurrection has overcome our death. By becoming mortal, he raises us immortal. He purifies us, you and me, from the contamination of our sin. He was struck by the venomous demon only to crush his head and be our victor. Loving our neighbor is not about inheriting fame or prestige from one another or eternal life from God. Loving our neighbor is about being who we are in Jesus Christ, in the one who loves us with his bloody mercy and grace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the short-term volunteers leading the children's program at East Africa Continuing Education Conference. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.